All right. Good morning, Drift Run Church.
Good morning.
Good to be out with everyone this morning again. It's a blessing to be in God's house, is it not? You know, that song, if that don't get you excited, I don't know what would. You know, praise God this morning. You know what? I praise Him for the Spirit that moves, for the Spirit that flows. I praise Him this morning for that Spirit that I feel in here this morning. You know, sometimes it's not always a shouting Spirit. Sometimes it's just a small, still Spirit that runs and through. And, you know, I praise God for that this morning. Because I believe, you know, with His Spirit moving, I believe that He could do so much in our church. Do so much for us. I want to praise Him for that this morning. You know, I am going to be over in Proverbs, the 15th chapter, and also I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians, Proverbs 15, and also in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter as well. If you would you turn to the 15th chapter of Proverbs, and when you get there, would you please stand in honor of God's Word and the reading of it this morning, if you can, please. Proverbs 15 and 14, beginning with this, that the heart of him that has understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of the fools feedeth on foolishness. I'm going to read that again before I go to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It says, the heart of him that has understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of the fools feedeth on foolishness. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to praise you. I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I want to thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to stand behind this desk here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would just open up the hearts and minds, Lord, that are here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the minds would be open, Lord, to your word, to the Spirit, Lord. I pray, Father, that the anointing would be upon me this morning, Lord. I pray that more than anything, Lord. And we will give you the praise for it all. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. You may be seated, and thank you. I know here a while back I talked about fake news, and I wanted to, I know that I talked a little bit about that, but I want to talk about something this morning that I feel is a little different. And I want to say it this way. This is not fake news is the way I would like to put it here this morning. The world is suffering from an epidemic of fake news. I'll just be blunt with you. We don't have to look around too much. We see the world is suffering from that. It doesn't take much scrolling down through social media to see it. I mean, anybody that does that, it won't take long before you can find it. With all the technology that is available in the world today, you know, and the knowledge at our fingertips, it would seem like that it would be easy not to get the wool pulled over our eyes so much. But unfortunately, I'm here to tell you this morning that that is not the case. It happens all too much. Even the sites that are out there to verify, like Snopes.com and FactCheck.com, you know what? Those sites have been proven that they are wrong too, and that they deliberately make mistakes or deliberately change things as well. So it's just one of those things I want to tell you, that you know what? Fake news is out there, and pray, you know, I just want to say it's out there. We've got to be very careful. Even thoughtful and serious journalism is not that way anymore. I'm sorry, but the Walter Cronkites of the world and the David Brinkley of the world are no more, if I may add that to you this morning. Those are the ones that I grew up on, by the way. And you know what? Those people there that you could trust. By the way, how many, just before I go on, how many of you remember whenever Walter Cronkite was on the television, whenever the Apollo 13 astronauts made it, and how that he started crying? That they made it through. I mean, how many of you remember seeing that? I remember seeing it. It was honest journalism. It was honest back in those days. I think they really felt it and really cared. But let me go on. My definition of fake news is, let me emphasize this, you know what? That where you and I disagree on something, it's not where we disagree on something. Because you know what? We can disagree on a lot of things. And you know what? That's not fake news. Where our interpretations of one things are at. You know, that's not fake news all the time per se. That is not it. Just because I don't agree, so I can call you, or that doesn't give me no right to say to you that that's fake news. Just because I disagree with something that you disagree with. I hear opposing views. But you know what we do sometimes? Whenever we hear it, we stuff our ears, our fingers in our ears, and we run off saying, lie, I don't want to hear it. And that's what people do nowadays sometimes. There's no honest talking and getting around subjects anymore. It's just like, if I don't agree with you, I'm going to try to shut you down. Now, I want to get to, then you want to find it in the Bible. It didn't just happen then. But over in Acts 7, you remember whenever Stephen tried to tell them what was going on? What did they do? They didn't want to hear it. So what did they do? They stoned him to death. They didn't want to hear the truth. So sometimes, you know what, whenever we're trying to tell the truth to somebody, I'm here to tell you this morning, sometimes people don't want to hear the truth. You know what, to me that's not fake news whenever we just want to say the truth is out there. We don't want to do that. To the purpose of fake news is to deliberately deceive and poison the mind of the hearer. That is fake news this morning. Its ultimate goal is to divide and to cause mistrust. If you look around, and I haven't even got to the point of my sermon this morning that this is not fake news, but if you look around today, is that not the definition of what fake news is today? When trust breaks down, whenever our trust breaks down on one another, hate and intolerance will then take its place. And that's just the way that it is in the world that we live in. Lest we think fake news is just common today, it's not. In the scripture that I read to you today, Paul, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said this: if we need to read the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians to really understand what Paul was talking about, he said fake news was in the church everywhere at that time. If you read the 15th chapter of it there, that's what he's dealing with. That's what he's trying to get the point across to people. The church of Corinth had a lot of behavioral problems. They did. If you read it and find out, they had a lot of problems in the church at Corinth. Of course, the churches today have none of those such problems, do they? That's what the preacher says with firmly his tongue in cheek, right? Because you know what I'm talking about. There are definitely problems in the church. There's definitely behavioral problems even today as there was back then. And they do need to be addressed. They need to be taken care of. You know what? But I'm here to tell you this morning, just don't think because of the day and age we live in that we are the ones that all have the fake news or have the problem, because it's not that way. Paul had saved all the conditions he dealt with in Corinthians, he saved the best one for last here. If you want to say the best one or the worst problem for last. In chapter 15, Paul deals with the fake news like this. And he said, head on with the truth of the Word of God. See, they believed, and we're going to get into it here in a little bit, that you know what? That the resurrection wasn't true. That's what they were believing. That's what they had been saved. God had miraculously brought them out. But they got to the point in their lives where they believed that the resurrection wasn't true. And Paul dealt with it head on. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 tells us this: but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Can I tell you this morning, and I want to preach and be just right up blunt with you this morning, if we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified to a lost and a dying world, there are going to be those that accept it, there are going to be those that reject it, and there are going to be some of them that are going to be dealt with time and time again. But praise God, if we let them know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light, we have done everything that we can do. Amen? We've done all that we can do. Praise God, good to have you, brother. We've done everything that we can do is to sit there and say, God, you know what? We are offering your son Jesus Christ, and I want to tell you this morning, that is not fake news. That is not fake news. The cause, you know what? The cause of confusion in churches, to say the least, is whenever we start getting off, as Jamie says, take our focus off the cross and put our focus on everything else. That's when confusion starts coming into the church world. Amen? It does. I'll tell you what, we get to the point so much anymore in churches. And I hope you agree with me on this. We want our way so much sometimes that we're willing to do whatever it takes to get it. And you know what? There are things in my life that you and I wouldn't agree, and I say this over and over again, but it's not a hill that I am worth dying on when it doesn't include Jesus Christ and Him crucified this morning. This is the cause that Paul distinctly lays out the evidence. And we're going to read the evidence in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And it says this, in the first, beginning with the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. Praise God. Paul knew that he preached it the way that it should be preached. And these people had received the glorious gift of salvation in their life. And he's telling him, he said, listen, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also, get this, ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preach unto you, unless you believe in vain. I want to tell you something here this morning. I don't want to believe in vain. How about you this morning? For I believe that the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ is what's got me to where I am today. I love my family. My family didn't get me to where I am today. Amen? I love my wife. And I love her with all the same. My wife didn't get me to where I am today. I didn't get my wife to where she is today. I didn't get you to where you are today. Praise God, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ lives in your heart, Brother Greg, He's got us where we are today.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen? Amen? It is nothing else because we believed one time that Jesus Christ, when I got up out of there, when I got saved, there was no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ lived in my heart. The devil might have tried to put doubt as the years go by, but I'm telling you, the moment that I got saved, I know that I was saved. I know that I was. The scripture says all things become new. Praise God, all things became new. How about you this morning? Have all things became new? That's what we're talking about. All things become new. Praise God, and I'm here to tell you that's not fake news this morning. All things become new. Paul pieced together all the evidence. He went on to say, in which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Amen. Praise God. There is only one way that you and I can be saved. And that is through Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross that Jesus Christ did. No other way. I'm not going to tell you if you give your tithes, you're all right. You understand me? I'm not going to tell you just because you come to church, you're all right. You understand that? I'm not going to tell you just because you teach or preach that you're all right. You're saying, preacher, I'm not here to tell you. You know what? There have been plenty of preachers that didn't know Jesus Christ as their Saviors. There have been plenty of teachers that didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There have been plenty of people that have sat in churches all their life and didn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're saying, how can that be? I'm telling you, the Lord said it best. He said there are going to be those that say, Lord, Lord, that don't enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's not me. That's the words of Jesus Christ. Make sure of your calling, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. What am I preaching? I'm preaching to you the basics of salvation this morning. Amen? If you do not believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that Jesus Christ walked on this earth, that He died, that He was in a tomb for 3 days, and that He rose again, and that He sits on the right hand of the Father, I'm here this morning to tell you, you don't believe the gospel message whatsoever. You don't believe in what the Bible says, because the Bible specifically talks about it and states it time and time and time again. And He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas in the 12. He was seen of Peter in the 12. Let me tell you a little bit about that story right there. If you remember right, the Pharisees said, you know what, let's tell the tale that He was stolen, that His body was stolen. I want to ask you a question this morning. And think about this logically in your own mind this morning. I want to ask you something. If you believe that Christ's body was stolen, all right, number one, they had to roll that stone out of the way, which that thing weighed 1 to 2 tons. Yeah, they could probably got enough men to do that all the time without anybody seeing it. then why would they take and fold the napkin up like the Bible says and lay it right there at the head of this tombstone? Why didn't they just take it out someplace else and take it off of him? They wouldn't even have had to put that on there. And do you not think that the Pharisees and all the leaders at that time would have done everything that they could do if they thought Jesus' body was out there to get his body and try to prove it? All that they would have had to done to disprove that Jesus had risen from the grave was present the body. And they never did it, did they? Why? Because the body wasn't here. Amen. I believe that whenever Jesus Christ went in that tomb, I believe that, you know what? He rose and he now sits on the right hand of the Father. Amen? They're not going to find that body. One of these days, they may see it. He's going to come back one of these days. We may get to see it in our time. I don't know. But he's coming back one of these days. And then what our faith is going to be sight one of these days. And praise God, I am thankful for that. All that they would have had to done was present that body, and they couldn't find it. Amen. Praise God, they couldn't find it. And I'll tell you something else too. If the disciples would have stole it, Sean, why did they not tell the women that went there to put the herbs and spices on him that morning? Why wouldn't they have told them? And whenever they went back, remember they went back and they got Peter and John, and Peter and John were just as amazed as they were. They would have known, would they not? Listen to me. These people had forgotten. They had forgotten what was told and what was said. It said he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. And that after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. And get this, whom the greater part remained alive until that time right there. Amen. If there's ever a case to make the resurrection point, right there it is. Because you know what? Praise God. Those people heard. They knew. But how soon they forgot. How soon that they forgot. And Paul had to bring it back to their minds. Do you agree with me this morning? There are times that things need to be brought back to our minds. Amen? There are times when we have to remember how good God really has been to us sometimes. Amen? There's times when we got to be taken back to the place where we got saved sometimes, Nancy. There's times whenever we have to get it back into the Word of God and see how good He is to each and every one of us. Amen? There are times we've got to be shaken and remembered. But you know what? I'm thankful this morning that through the Holy Spirit of God, that He brings us back. He shows us what's right. He blesses us through the Word of God. He blesses us through the singing. He blesses us through so many things. And I am thankful this morning. It says, and that he was seen of about 500 brethren, once of whom the greater part remain to this present, but are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James, and then all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, also of one born out of due time. Paul gave up everything. Do we realize that? Paul had it all, more or less. He had everything. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was smart. He was intelligent. He was all the things, you know what, that you would think that in this world he could make a way, and he would have riches. He would have all these things. But one day, he met Jesus. He's on the road to Damascus, and we know the story, how Jesus appeared to him, and it blinded him. And the Scripture said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, the one that thou persecutest." Amen? I'm here to tell you this morning, Brother Paul gave up all that, but he gained so much more. He gained the riches of glory. He gained everything that God had promised each and every one of us. Do you not comprehend sometimes, Sarah, sitting down and talking to Paul one of these days? Isn't that going to be? I mean, we're going to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to see all the apostles. We're going to see all those people that we read about here. And one of these days, one of these days, we will get to sit there and we will get to ask and we'll get to talk. I believe all of our questions will be answered one of these days. You agree with me on that? I believe all of our questions will be answered one of these days. Paul said, last of all, seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles and not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. How about you this morning? By the grace of God, you are what you are this morning. That's what we are. But I don't want to be Greg. Greg doesn't want to be me. I don't want to be nobody else out there. God has given me the path to take. My thing is, by the grace of God, He's given me that. And I need to accept it and go with it and say, God, by your grace, through your power, through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, I will make it home one day. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached and so we believed. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And this is the point that needs to be drove home to each and every one of us in here this morning. If you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ here this morning, do you realize we're all liars? Do you know that? We're sitting here this morning, and we're all liars if we do not believe in the... Listen to what he goes on to say here. He says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses to God. We are liars before God if we do not believe that Jesus Christ is said what He is and is raised from the dead today. We are all false. We're sitting here this morning in church. But I want to tell you something. I didn't come here this morning to believe in a dead God. I didn't come here this morning to believe in a false Savior, because the one that I believe in this morning lives, because He lives in my heart this morning. I feel Him all the time, Alita. I feel Him all the time. That is nothing. And you say, well, you're... And people say, well, that makes me feel bad. But, you know, that makes me... I can't. You can be like... The Bible says, I have no respecter of person. Amen? There's not one person in here that can't feel the power and the strength and the Spirit of God in their lives. I'm telling you, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a religion I couldn't feel once in a while. Amen? I know that He's real. I know that He lives within my heart. Have you ever got on your knees to pray and felt the Spirit so much in your life? Have you ever been there? Been there. Have you ever come to church and the singing, and not because the singing is good, which we have good singing around here, not because of the music, because we got good music, but because the Spirit of God is dealing with you through the songs, through the words in the songs. Have you ever done that? That's the Spirit of God moving in your life. That's it. And he goes on to say, he said, we are false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised Christ, for whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. And he goes on to talk about, that's the point he's trying to say. The resurrection is for us as well one day. It is for us as well one day. One of these days, I believe this and I preach this, that if Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern sky, He's coming back to get those that are born again, that are bought with the blood, that have accepted Him into their heart. He's coming back to get them one day. I preach that. And if that's not true, I'm lying to every one of you. But I know I'm not lying this morning. Amen? Because I believe that He's coming back. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Comprehend that for a little bit. If He is not raised, we are still dead in our sins. Amen? We are still dead in our sins. I'm telling you, I know one day He took my sins away. Amen. He took them away from me. He took the... You say you're perfect. No, I'm not. I still struggle with things. We all will struggle. That don't mean that you're perfect. That just means that He took away the sins out of my life, and I've got to stay close to Him. And I stay close to Him each and every day of my life. Amen. That's what we got to do. That's what it is. And He goes on to say, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. I got loved ones in the grave. I'm going to see you again one of these days. That's what that means. How about you this morning? Amen? There's those in the grave that I know that died serving the Lord. I'm going to see them again one of these days, brothers and sisters. I'm going to see them again one of these days. I have a hope that goes beyond it. And it goes on to say 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Isn't that awesome words? But listen to me. I hope that you are not only just worried about this life down here. I wrote a little note down there in my words, in my notes, and said, you know what? There's a lot of churches that preach, you know what? You need to get everything you can get right now. You need to have everything that you can have right now. It said, God wants you to have everything that you can get right now. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be this. God wants you to be that. On and on and on. You know what? Whether they know it or not, I think they're preaching the same thing that Paul's preaching against right there. Because you know what? Our hope is not in this life. Amen?
Amen.
My hope's not in this life. I am thankful that I live in a beautiful world. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful I've got to see a lot of country. I heard Rodney talking about Alaska. I've never got to go there yet. But Lord willing, one of these days I want to go. But I'm here to tell you, it isn't going to be nothing compared to what we will see one of these days. As the old preachers used to say, we're going to walk on stuff people fight over today. Amen? We're going to be walking on gold that people fight over today. The beauty of that place is going to be beyond compare. I'm here to tell you this morning, you know what? If I have to struggle, if God sees fit that I struggle, if God sees fit that this something happens to me and I'm not the way that I am now, I'm here to tell you right now, I want to be able to praise Him because I know my home's not in this world.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. He had to correct them. They were falling into the same trap that I think so many fall into. We get to disbelieve in what God's Word says. We get to disbelieve in what the Scripture tries to get across to us sometimes. And we try to say, well, you know what? One verse of Scripture I go to all the time. Thank you, Lord. One verse of Scripture says, you know what? There's going to be those that say, is it not the same as it was since His appearing? Is it not the same? Remember, I think it's over in Timothy. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's over in there. But it's talking about there's going to be people that naysayers are going to say, well, you know what? He hasn't come back yet. He is just going on and on and on. He's not coming back. He said, beware. Be careful. Be careful because He is coming back one day. Whenever people are not even thinking about it, He's coming back one day. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't fall into that trap. This is not fake news. This is not fake news. Jesus Christ is coming back again someday. As much as is out there that tries to discredit everything, and you can find anything you want to out there. I'm just here to tell you, if you can Google whatever you want, and you will find whatever you want out there. I'm here to tell you this morning, this right here is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. That's the kind of God we serve this morning. They come and get a song. If you have a need this morning, I hope and pray that you've not fallen into that trap here this morning. I pray, Father, this morning that you know what? If you have a need, if you have any doubt in your life here this morning, come to this altar and give it to Jesus Christ this morning. Let's do that.